call a friend and tell him to tune into this station to hear a preacher show from the Holy Word of God that the old city of Jerusalem is most certainly not the Jerusalem of Bible prophecy, and stay tuned.
It's time for America's Promise with Sheldon Emery of Lord's Covenant Church of Phoenix, Arizona. With your Bible and listen as Pastor Emery preaches the Word of God, the good news of Christ's kingdom, and Bible truths about the United States of America as foretold in prophecy. This is God's promise to America, that the power and works of God lead America to read, believe, and obey Christ's holy commands. During the broadcast, we'll be offering literature which you may request for your personal study. America's Promise is sponsored by Lord's Covenant Church of Phoenix, Arizona, and interested friends across this great nation. Now, Pastor Sheldon Emery.
Thank you. Since 1948, many ministers in America have been predicting rather great things for the little city in Palestine called Jerusalem. Most of them claimed they were getting their prophecies about that Jerusalem out of the book we all call the Bible. 30-some years have passed since 1948, and very little has changed about that old city. It is true that new apartment buildings and businesses and a few homes have been built in a few square miles around the old city, but the turning to Christ by its inhabitants, predicted by so many in the 40s and 50s, and even in the 60s, has not come to pass. What is the problem? Is the Bible wrong about these things? Or has it happened that ministers are trying to make that old city fulfill prophecies which that old city was never intended to fulfill? Since I am going to be making some statements during this Bible study, which will be quite at variance with much popular preaching on Jerusalem and Palestine, and since the United States of America may very well go to war in the near future to protect that old city and that ancient land, I think this is important enough that you should stop whatever it is you are doing right now, get your Bibles out, sit down by your radio, and follow with me in this study. My intention is to prove to you from the Bible and from past and present history that Old Jerusalem has not been fulfilling Bible prophecy for the Israel people. It is not doing so today, nor can we expect it to do so in the future. Instead, the Jerusalem of prophecy is something entirely different than that old city. I was reading in the prophet Zechariah when I finished last week. I will begin there today in just a moment after I give my address and offer you a free packet of literature on the subject of Jerusalem. Write me at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010, and ask for the free Old Jerusalem packet. That packet will include a book I wrote on this a few years ago, titled, The Old Jerusalem is Not the New Jerusalem. It will have some other related materials and a list of books, literature, and cassette tapes that we have available. All right, I trust you have your Bibles. The prophet Zechariah is in the Old Testament just before Malachi, which is the last book of the Old Testament. Before we read, I will repeat a reminder about the Bible that I gave my listeners last week. Most Bible students know there is an old city of Babylon, which is now gone, and there is a Babylon of prophecy, which is different. Most Bible students know there is an old empire called Assyria, which is now gone, and there is an Assyria of Bible prophecy, and it too is different. They know there is an Egypt of prophecy, but it is not the Egypt of history. They know there is a King David of prophecy, which can only be Jesus Christ, and is certainly not the King David of history. So it is true that God Almighty does use old names for future prophetic entities, Assyria, Egypt, Babylon, and so on. However, when it comes to the name Jerusalem, many modern ministers teach most prophecies about Jerusalem are about the old city, which of course they are not, as we shall see. All right, you understand the principle that God does use ancient names for prophetic entities. Turn to Zechariah. In chapter 1 is a prophecy about Jerusalem. Remember the time element here. Jerusalem, the old city, had been destroyed by Babylon in about 598 B.C. This prophecy was probably given sometime around 520 B.C. while Nehemiah was preparing to return to the city of Jerusalem to help rebuild the city. You can read of that rebuilding in Ezra and Nehemiah. So at first we might think Zechariah is simply prophesying about the reconstruction that was then underway to rebuild Jerusalem. However, that is not the case here, as we will see from what is prophesied. Neither is it prophesying about the present city of Jerusalem, and we will plainly see that also. First, I will read the phrases from verse 14 through 17, which are often quoted and applied to the Jewish-occupied city of Jerusalem today. God is speaking. I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with great jealousy. I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Many who quote those phrases say they mean that God will set up his temple or his house at some future time in the old city of Jerusalem. But there are other phrases in the same verses which must be considered. Verse 17, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, My cities through prosperity or through good shall yet be spread abroad. And then comes, And the Lord shall yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Since the phrase spread abroad was spoken by Zechariah while he was in old Palestine, it obviously means they would be spread abroad to places other than old Palestine. Christ also gave some indication that the cities of Israel would be in great number and cover much territory. In Matthew 10 are his well-known instructions to the 12 disciples. In verse 6 he tells them to go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and then in verse 23 he says, For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciples could have gone over the towns in old Palestine then in a matter of weeks, and missionaries still could do so today if they were not prevented from doing so by the Jews. But if the cities, plural, cities of Israel, were to be spread abroad and to be a great number, it could not be done so quickly. We also must take into consideration that Zechariah, as a prophet to Israel, spoke not only to those from the Babylonian captivity, but to the millions of Israelites who had been taken to Assyria over 200 years before, and who had never returned to Jerusalem or Palestine. That Zechariah's prophecy here was not fulfilled by the return of less than 45,000 Jews from Babylon under Ezra and Nehemiah will be clear as we go on. Also, what the Jerusalem is here in Zechariah, that the Lord shall yet choose, is made clearer by reading on in the very next verses from the very same prophet. Reading on in Zechariah 2 verses 1 through 4, and remember, these chapter designations or separations were not in the original text, so this is a continuation of what we read in chapter 1. I lifted up mine eyes again, and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then said I, Whither goest thou? And he said unto me, To measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof, and what is the length thereof. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, And another angel went out to meet him, and said unto him, Run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein. That is quite a description. Towns, plural, and many men and cattle were to be in Jerusalem. This is the Jerusalem of prophecy, and it is so large it took an angel to measure it. Maybe this would be because this Jerusalem of prophecy would have to have been spread abroad, as was prophesied in previous verses. In chapter 8 of Zechariah, and Zechariah has much to say about prophetic Jerusalem, we read in verse 2, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. So God goes on to say, He will be in both Zion and Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. This is similar to what we have in Isaiah 2 and Micah 4, where Jerusalem is called the mountain of the Lord. I read from Isaiah 2 last time, but I think we should do that again, since with this new view here from Zechariah, that the Jerusalem of prophecy would be spread abroad, that it would be made up of towns, plural, without walls because of the number of men and cattle in it, we should look at Isaiah's Jerusalem of prophecy again. Isaiah 2 and verse 1. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Verse 2, And it shall come to pass in the last days. So, Isaiah is not here prophesying of Jerusalem before Christ. He is not prophesying of the rebuilding of Jerusalem, which took place 500 years before Christ by Ezra and Nehemiah. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains. Here is that same phrase we found in Zechariah 8, where the term, the mountain of the Lord, is used to signify prophetic Zion and prophetic Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Bible students know the prophets used the term mountain to stand for a large nation and hill for smaller nations. I demonstrated that also last week. Anyway, this nation of the Lord's house in Isaiah 2 would then have to be a nation above all other nations, exalted above the hills or the smaller nations. Actually, to fit Isaiah's prophecy, this Jerusalem would have to be the chief nation on earth. And then it says, and nations, and the Hebrew word here is goy or people, and people would flow unto it. Now it is true that from 1948 up to about 1978, there was a flow of Jews into the land of Palestine. However, that has now, for practical purposes, ended. Although some still migrate there, the out-migration of Jews to other nations now exceeds the inward migration each year. In fact, of the several hundred thousand Jews who have left Soviet Russia in the last 10 to 15 years, perhaps as many as 85% of them have gone to Western Europe or America, not to Palestine. And of course, people other than the Jews are not going to the old city of Jerusalem at all except as tourists. They could not become citizens there anyway, since only Jews are allowed citizenship in the Jewish state in Palestine. Verse 3 of Isaiah 2 further prophesies of this prophetic Jerusalem. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, or to the nation of the Lord, this great nation that was to be established above all other nations, to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And you say, O Pastor Emery, that is all future. That is after the Jews are converted to become Christians, then they will teach all nations God's ways and his law and so on. Yes, I know that you have been taught that by scores and perhaps hundreds of preachers. But take a look at the world as it has developed in these last days. And we are in the last days when these prophecies were to come to pass. If you lived in Africa or in South America or in Asia or in the isles of the sea, and you wanted to be taught God's ways and to walk in his paths, where would you go? You would go to where God's word is taught, would you not? You would probably go to the nation from whence had come the missionary who had first inspired you to seek out the God of the Bible. You would go to the land known for its Bibles, its Christians, and its Christian schools and colleges, and for its massive efforts to carry the ways and the law of God to all nations, would you not? Now, I cannot guarantee exactly what you would do. However, if you were to go to the nation from whence has gone forth the law and the word of the Lord to the other nations for the last 200 years, you would go to America, or possibly to England, Scandinavia, or Germany. For from those few nations, of all the nations of the earth, for centuries has come 95% of all Bibles ever published, and 95% of all Christian missionaries who have carried the word of God to other peoples. Those few nations, of all the nations of the earth, have translated God's holy word into over 20 major languages and over 1,000 dialects, and distributed literally millions upon millions of copies of the Holy Bible to every continent and island on earth. And from those few nations, of all the nations of the earth, comes literally the coverage of the earth by radio, by satellite, by television, of the reading and explaining of the law and the word of God. This is happening even while the very Christian people who give of their tithes and offerings to print those Bibles and send those missionaries and pay for those radio and TV broadcasts and who support hundreds of Christian colleges and tens of thousands of Christian schools where the law of the Lord and the gospel of Jesus, the future King of New Jerusalem, is taught, those very people often think this teaching of God's word is going to be done in the future by another people from another nation, a people who have never taught God's word to any other people. You can see why some of us say, don't just listen to a few phrases of Bible prophecy and accept it to mean whatever the minister says it means. Instead, read it yourself and look out at the world as it has developed and as it really is, and see if the interpretation of Bible prophecy fits what has and is happening. If it does not fit, then something is wrong. Either God did not know the future history of the world, or else someone is trying to make prophecy fit something that prophecy does not fit. I believe in most cases it is the latter, especially when they try to fit Bible prophecies of Jerusalem into that old city occupied by a people who have rejected the Christ of the Bible. Look at verse 7 now of Zechariah 8, where we were reading a few moments ago. God goes on about this. Behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. God is saying that his people, which would be Israel, would be brought to this Jerusalem by him and they would be his people in truth and in righteousness. That is a phrase that has to describe Christians. We cannot accept that the Jews have returned to Palestine and are worshiping God in truth and in righteousness. If we do, then we deny the Christian faith. We know from 1,000 passages in the New Testament that Jesus Christ is truth, that Jesus Christ is righteousness, and that we can only worship the Father through the Son, through truth and righteousness. The Jews in Palestine today deny that Jesus Christ has come. John wrote 1,900 years ago in 1 John 2:22, "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son." John went further, and we must either accept this as truth or deny the New Testament. "Whosoever," and that means anyone, "whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father." John the Beloved wrote in 2 John verse 7, "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." And I could quote a score more if I had time that tell us that whoever it was would be gathered by God into prophetic Jerusalem had to worship God Almighty in and through Jesus Christ. If we taught otherwise, we would deny that Jesus was truth and righteousness. I suspect that some of you already realize that I am pointing to one nation as this Jerusalem of Bible prophecy, our own nation, America. For it is a truth that it is the only nation on earth which was founded by followers of Jesus Christ, Christians who even wrote in their legal documents of the settlements and colonies that they had come to this wilderness to advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ. When the first colonists of Virginia landed at what is now Virginia Beach, Virginia, they planted the Christian flag on the beach and claimed this land for Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As far back as 1492, when Christopher Columbus first landed in what was later called the New World, he claimed the entire continent for Jesus the Christ. Nothing, absolutely nothing even vaguely resembling that, can be claimed for the new nation in Palestine called by the name Israel. Neither that it was founded by Christians, nor that it ever taught the gospel of Jesus to any person on earth. This is Pastor Sheldon Emery. I have much more from both the Bible and from history to cover in this study of the Old Jerusalem and the New Jerusalem of Bible prophecy. We'll go to Jeremiah, to Isaiah, to Micah, to Samuel, to David, possibly if time, to the prophet Joel and Malachi. And we'll be reading Jesus' words and those in the epistles in the New Testament and also in the book of Revelation. God has much to say in his word of New Jerusalem, for New Jerusalem is the prophetic name of the kingdom of Jesus Christ upon the earth, the place where Christ rules. And as God's prophet Isaiah said, that was to be in a land. Yes, a land. And Isaiah described that land in some detail, more detail than we have read in Zechariah. So you listen next week as we continue, God willing. Meanwhile, write for our free packet of literature. My mail address is America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Ask for the packet on Old Jerusalem. It will have a booklet which will contain most of the Bible passages you will hear on these broadcasts, along with the comparisons between the Old City and the Jerusalem of Prophecy. The packet will include related material, my current radio log, a list of books and tracts on Bible subjects, and a list of some Bible studies available on cassette tapes. By the way, in that booklet that you will receive in this packet that is titled, "The Old Jerusalem is Not the New Jerusalem," we have a page of information on Christopher Columbus. In 1502, Columbus wrote to King Ferdinand of Spain about his voyages, quote, "Fully accomplished were the words of Isaiah." As a Christian and a student of the Bible, Columbus knew
Isaiah had prophesied that Israel was to spread north and west of Palestine to uninhabited lands. This is given in Isaiah 49, and he also knew Israel's future territory would be far away and in heathen lands, according to Isaiah 54. Those passages are quoted in this booklet you will receive when you write and ask for the packet, and we also have a globe showing the directions taken from the prophet Isaiah to encompass the lands which Israel would inhabit in the last days. It shows the very nations to which God would spread his people across the earth. I have just a few moments left, so I'll get you started a little further in Zechariah about Jerusalem. If you have your Bibles, turn to Zechariah 1, verses 14 through 17. I will first take out of that the phrases which are so often used to teach that the old Jerusalem is the Jerusalem of prophecy. God is speaking. I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with great jealousy. I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem. These are phrases from verse 14 through 17, and those who quote them often say they mean that God will set up a temple or his house at some future time in the old city of Jerusalem. However, there are other phrases in those same verses which must be considered. I will add them here in their context. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity or through good shall yet be spread abroad. Then comes, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Since the phrase spread abroad was spoken through Zechariah while he was in old Palestine, it could mean spread abroad to other places than old Palestine. Christ also gave some indication that the cities of Israel would be in great number and cover much territory. In Matthew 10 are his well-known instructions to his 12 disciples. In verse 6 he tells them to go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. When you write or call, please give the call letters of the station over which you hear America's Promise. That will help me very much in my evaluation of our radio expenditures. Come back and listen again next week when I return, God willing. Until then, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you. Read your Bibles and pray for Christian America.
You have been listening to America's Promise. If you would like America's Promise to continue on this station, write to us at Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona 85010. America must hear God's Word preached in this hour of trial. When you write, ask for the literature you would like. We'll also send you a catalog of several hundred Bible sermons and radio broadcast tapes, along with a current log of radio stations nationwide where you and your friends may hear America's Promise. This program can only continue on this station by your financial support. Our mailing address is America's Promise, Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona 85010. That's America's Promise, Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona 85010. Tell your friends about the broadcast, and thanks for listening.